Queens, I should say g'day, mate, because I'm still in Australia. Oceans here are just pristine, and they look emerald, like emeralds. You know, it's just amazing. But I've got quite a lot of things going on. We can catch up later on. All right, so we've got Ethan Fox. He's a spiritual teacher and founder of the Flower of Life Center for Human Evolution and the Awaken and Power Expo. He's always had a feeling that he had a gift with energy from an early age and through his adult years and in the business and financial work. He had an intense knowing that he could help people and never walked away from someone in need. Simultaneously, he walked the spiritual world, eventually becoming an accomplished astrologer and numerologist. His logical left brain mindset left him very skeptical of his energetic healing abilities. He had dismissed many unusual and profound healing experiences as coincidence until 1997, when a series of unmistakable events finally began to convince him. His belief was further confirmed upon meeting Barb Morey, a gifted aura reader whose abilities can be compared to those of the late Edgar Cayce. What she saw in his aura that day sent Ethan on a quest to better understand his gift through a series of experiments and study groups within his Flower of Life organization. Suddenly, many of the unusual life experiences he had lived made complete sense. So with any further ado, I want to welcome Ethan to the show. Ethan, are you with us?
Yes, thank you, James. Good to be back with you again.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey here. There is so much going on. I don't even know where to start. But first of all, I want to kind of cover the Awaken and Power Expo that you've got going on.
Right, yeah. You're going to be there this March 18th through 20th, and that's going to be in Detroit, Michigan at a hotel in the downtown area. It's a beautifully restored early 1900s hotel. And so we have 3 days of events, a lot of different topics. So we kick it off Friday night with a 333 Tibetan bowl gong immersion with Dr. Dream, who you've had out at your place a number of times, I imagine. And then we have a lot of people, Michaela Sheldon, of course, who you know, and you'll be there giving a workshop and also a talk. We have Marina Jacoby, a variety of subjects, everything from ancient civilizations and sacred geometry to channeling to extraterrestrial to Chinese herbalism and healing, quite a variety of topics all throughout the weekend. So, and we have an exhibitor space that's open to the public throughout the weekend as well. So, yeah, very exciting stuff.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think I went back east when I was about probably 12 years old was the last time. And I was in Michigan, actually. I went there with my dad, and he had a friend in Detroit, and he picked up a car, you know, got a really good deal on it, so, and then drove it back. But I don't remember too much of it, but it'd be good to get out there again.
Yeah, so this is your first time since you were 12 years old?
Yeah. I've stayed away from the East Coast for some reason. I don't know why. It's just the doors didn't open up for that to happen. And so it's been up and down the West Coast everywhere and you know, a lot of places on the interior. But it's pretty crazy. This Australian thing opened up and everything just fell into place. And so I'm in Australia now doing a tour up and down the coast here in Australia. So I should say Australia. They don't say Aus here. They kind of drop everything and everything gets shortened, you know? So, you know, you don't say good day. You say g'day, mate, speaking to you from Australia. You know, it's kind of hilarious.
Sounds like a fun trip. I haven't been there yet, so that's going to be an adventure. Yeah.
You know, it's actually kind of hilarious because everywhere I've gone, we've had black helicopters flying over the house, you know, on a regular basis. And just a couple of days ago, we had a drone come from the ocean out over the house and hover there and, you know, right over the house. And it looked like it was videotaping us or filming us or something. And then it took off and went behind the house to the other side of the house. And then it took off again and went back out, you know, back out to the, I'm not sure which direction it was. It went down the beach. But, you know, that was pretty interesting.
You know, I don't know if anybody's ever asked you this, but I've always been kind of curious. I'm not one to really look at the sky to see what's going on up there. But So do you, I mean, do you think that there is a conscious effort on the part of some governmental or non-governmental entity to follow you around? Or do you think that it's, there's just this lower vibrational consciousness out there that is orchestrating the consciousness of human beings who are on that low level to do these sorts of things? I guess I don't understand. Yeah. Could they really be having black helicopters following everybody around who's doing everything these days? Or what exactly is behind that?
Well, you know, what's interesting is that, you know, I take everything with a grain of salt. I think it's kind of funny, and I just film them, you know, but the coincidence is no longer coincidence. When everywhere you go, these things are coming right over your house, and they'll fly over your house, and your computers, everything go haywire, you know, so they're doing something energetically. So, you know, it's pretty obvious that this is going on. And what I find out is other people that are in the field, you know, especially the ones that are for real, that are actually doing something out there, do have pretty much a constant, you know, sightings of these black helicopters. And a lot of them will talk about how they feel like they're being harassed, or they're being hit with psychotronic weapons, or, you know, all kinds of things are going wonkers, you know, in their life when these helicopters start showing up. So, you know, it seems to me when it just keeps happening again and again, and to people in this field, obviously there is some kind of a network, you know. You know, some people call it black ops, some people call it have different names for it, you know, the secret government or whatever. I think it's all tied together. But you know, I have people in the Air Force, and I asked them about these black helicopters, and they said when they come, they land and they can't go near them. They can't get within like 100 feet of them or something like that, or you're in big trouble. And it might even be 100 yards, probably more like 100 feet. But he said that they fuel themselves. They said they land, a guy gets out, goes up there, and I guess they have a truck and they drive it out and they fuel it, and then they're gone, and you can't interact with them or be around them or even have a conversation with them.
Yeah, I do hear that a lot from, well, not that part right there, but I do hear a lot of people in these various movements who describe that same thing happening a lot. I personally can't say I've ever noticed anything around me, but then again, most of the time I'm inside when I'm broadcasting and so on. So do you think that it's, I mean, do you have any information from your other worldly contacts as to what's going on there?
Oh yeah. They said that it's basically, you know, part of the Dark Arts, you know, program. It's part of their agenda. But I actually had Laura Eisenhower on my show, and she was just blowing the lid off the, you know, the Mars colonies and everything else. And we had quite a few witnesses. Ashley and Joseph and a few other people were sitting on the picnic bench, and we have this tower that's in the right. It's kind of in the Field of Dreams where all the UFO activity happens, and that's where I was broadcasting from. And this helicopter came over, and it had a giant, looked like half a ball, you know, with the open half facing down behind the cockpit of the helicopter or the fuselage, and it was built into it. And this thing flew over, and when the guy got right, I mean, it flew right over the tower, and the guy flipped the switch. And when he did that, everything went down. The show went down. All the electronics went down. I felt like I got microwaved, basically. And I'm still having skin problems from that one, you know. But, you know, so yeah, they're definitely have an agenda, you know, and that agenda is to suppress a lot of this information from getting out.
I see. Yeah, I've heard you talk about that in the past before. I don't know if it was on my show, or maybe I just happened to watch the one that you had with Laura. But yeah, it's very interesting stuff going on in the world. Do you think that, I mean, as we're heading, we've talked about this before, and a lot of things, I think the last time I had you on my show was about a year ago. Maybe a little longer, but and a lot of things have happened since then in terms of planetary alignments. And I work with a lot of people who are light workers, and a lot of them have been experiencing some pretty intense changes in the past year and a half. And of course, there's a an eclipse coming up in March as well, which is very timely with our expo happening around then, since our expo is really more of a consciousness event than just an educational event. And do you have any insight into what's actually going on a consciousness level in the planet in the past year? And is there anything significant that you know of that's happening in March?
Well, you know what? It's kind of interesting. You know, they always say beware of the Ides of March. You know, it seems to have a history of things just really hitting the fan, you know, during March. And also, too, I know that the, what's happening with the economic changes and things like that, I've been talking to some people on very high levels, and the information they're giving me, which it's really hard to verify this stuff, which is interesting. And there's a lot of misinformation out there, but, you know, according to these sources, basically the America USA, the corporation is pretty much dead and it's gone. And the Republic is about ready to be restored and all the papers are signed and everything else. And I think we're going to go back to common law, you know, and get away from this total corrupt legal system. But, you know, and we're also going to get away from the Federal Reserve note and go back to a treasury note that's backed by gold. So, you know, all these shifts and all these changes are unfolding and they're to be announced, I guess, very soon. And I've always said that none of this was really going to come out until after the Chinese New Year's, because the Chinese are the ones that are backing all this with the gold and everything else to kind of restore the Republic and help us get back on our feet. So, you know, that being said, you know, we're making all these announcements. And I said, well, I don't think anything is going to be announced till after the New Year's. And right on the New Year's, I guess, all of this information started coming out about, I think it's General Dunford has signed the papers and this is all going forward. So there's so many things happening. But what I find out is that the higher dimensional beings and the, you know, spiritually and technologically advanced off-worlders actually work with the planetary influences, and they do things when the timing is best for them. So, and that seems to be more up your alley. I'd love to hear what you're seeing as far as astrological. What are you seeing that's unfolding right now or coming up in our near future?
Well, we've had some interesting things in the last several years that have in some ways just come to a conclusion, other things that are in the midway of the process. I've been speaking about, well, I used to, in my former life, beyond 5 years ago, I used to be in the financial and business world more heavily, and I was a professional trader, and I actually taught professional traders how to trade the markets. And so in that time, I'd been studying cycles for a long time, and I had foreseen a market crash coming, and that the bottom wouldn't happen until around 2016. And well, what's significant about that is, well, something significant would happen in around 2016 that would cause the bottom of the market to occur and things to gradually shift the other way. And so far it's been, it's been pretty consistent with that, and we should start seeing some changes. That doesn't necessarily mean the stock markets are going to continue in the same sense, but that there was always meant to be some sort of a shift happening right around now that would cause a change. And part of that is we've had the planets Uranus and Pluto square to each other, which basically they're 90 degrees in the Earth sky, and Pluto being in Capricorn, which is the opposite sign of Cancer, and when it was in Cancer, we had the Great Depression. So we entered this period in recent years of a depression-like situation, but not quite the same as what we had in the 1920s. But when you have those two planets together, and especially Pluto and Capricorn, Uranus and Aries, as we've had in recent years, the Pluto and Capricorn results in the current administration or system of government and authorities in the world enforcing more restrictions on people as we've seen in the recent years around the world and in the U.S. with the Patriot Act and all these restrictions that we've seen. But then when you have the planet Uranus at 90 degrees to it, what you have is these two forces that are sort of pushing up against or fighting up against each other. And ultimately to try to create some sort of balance. But because the 90 degree alignment is not a very balanced, harmonious alignment, it can tends to be turbulent. So this is what we've had going on for quite a few years. And we've seen the Wall Street protests and all these things, including the huge growth in alternative media and your work and all the work that we're doing, because Uranus in Aries is really representative of the people rebelling and becoming very rebellious. And so when you put the two together, you have more restrictions and yet people are rebelling against it. And this has been going on for several years now. And that influence just concluded as of 2015. And now we're heading into several years where there's still going to be some fallout from that. But when we get into the early 2020s, I believe around 2022, the planet Pluto goes into Aquarius and it stays there for about 20 years, a little over 20 years, I think. And I think that's really going to be the time that we're all waiting for now, that we're starting to see early signs of. And I mean, our expo is one manifestation of that. We're starting to see the early signs of this awakening of consciousness, but also more freedoms for the people, free energy technology. All these things are just beneath the surface right now and trying to break through. It's going to, and they're going to slowly start coming to the surface over the next several years. And then when we hit 2022 to mid 2040s, is when we're going to really push into that, you know, into that new future where we'll have breakthroughs in technology, breakthroughs in health, and a freer society, because Pluto in Aquarius really is representative of the freedom of the people. So we are going to break through to that. Now, beyond that, we've just in the past year, year and a half, we've had Saturn and Neptune in square as well. And so I work with a lot of people who are light workers to help them to bring their gifts to the world. And one thing that I've noticed with a lot of people in who are more conscious is that they, a lot of people are becoming more conscious in the past year and a half, because when these two planets come together, one of the manifestations of that is that individuals have suddenly your belief system doesn't make sense anymore. So a lot of people have been struggling with their whatever their previous belief system or their faith or whatever they saw as God has isn't serving them anymore. So a lot of people have been having spiritual crisis, and as a result, waking up and realizing they need to do something in the world that is more meaningful and that is more in line with their spiritual mission. And so this has been going on for the past year, year and a half, more focused toward the last few months. That's going to happen again in 2016. So we're still in the midst of that. So one of the side effects of that is a lot of awakening is happening. And it's in a lot of people are purging karma through that experience in order to go through that awakening. So we have that. And then, of course, we have the eclipses. There's a solar and a lunar eclipse that are coming up in March. And those are going to be another leap forward in consciousness. And I don't say that just as an astrologer, but I work with a lot of intuitives and intuitive channels and so on, and they all concur that there's some sort of buildup of energy that's happening right now through March that's going to be a significant jump forward in consciousness to where things won't be anything like they were before. So it's supposed to be something that is substantial, a very, very big jump forward in consciousness. So I think and even we've had some market instability in the recent weeks, and I think we're starting to see some of the signs of something happening. And of course, you know, our event being at that time is very timely for that as well. And I tend to time things based on astrology, so it's not there by accident. But yeah, so there are those kind of influences happening. I do think that we have another 2 to 3 years where things may be a little bit tough, but as we get closer to the end of the decade and the early part of next, we're going to start seeing those things breaking through. But yeah, so, and I, of course, you know, you speak to Winston as well and other people who are doing these things in the world. And of course, Winston's going to be at the expo as well doing a workshop. Yeah. And so I've heard about some of those things happening on the governmental level. But yeah, what are you seeing? I know last time you and I talked, we talked briefly about the China situation, and that was about a year ago. And at the time, it was very early stages, I think, and you didn't have too much information. Anything new that's come up since then?
Well, it's since I've been on the road here, and I haven't been able to keep up to date. And they have told me some things, and it's almost like encrypted, you know, read between the lines. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't want to announce certain things yet, you know, because they didn't want, because other things were being put into place. But, you know, there is a major plan, and the white hats are behind it. And, you know, the light beings, the light workers are behind it. And there, you know, there's a lot of misinformation out there too, you know, coming from like Red Dragon and White Dragon. I've been working with the Golden Dragon, you know, the top of the food chain there, which is the one that really decides, you know, where things go and what happens. But a lot of it is up to America. It's up to the people here to stand up and get behind, you know, the white hats and the other people and, you know, take back their country, which is happening, you know, and people are getting fed up. And I think this Lavoie incident that just happened in Oregon and the Bundy things and everything else is a classic. I mean, it's really lighting a fire behind people to see just how dark the government has become, you know, and just how not just unethical, but to a point where it's pure criminal, you know, the things that they're doing. So the greed and the total lack of respect for human life and everything else that's been happening is all coming to the surface, which seems to me that would fit in there because you know, I'm not, you know, I know a little bit about astrology, but not enough. But I know Uranus is a time of change, and it really, really gets things moving and changing and shakes things up. And you got Pluto, which is a lot of the deepest, darkest stuff, all the stuff hidden, is all coming to the surface. And that's what I'm seeing is the real truth of our leadership is being brought right up to the surface. And this other energy is just shaking everything up. And so, you know, I think we're in a time where everything is coming up. Nothing is hidden. And people are just shocked at first. And I think we're getting into the phase where people are just fed up. And now there's going to be action taken, you know, to clean this mess up. But it is just such a big mess when you look at it. It's so ugly. I can't believe they've gotten away with what they've gotten away with this long, you know, and that people haven't just said enough's enough. But it is going in that direction. I'd love to hear your comments on that. But does that sound close to what's happening as far as Pluto and Uranus?
Yeah, well, Pluto does represent that. So the things that you're talking about are valid as far as astrological interpretations of that, because Pluto does, when you have Pluto in Capricorn and especially square Uranus, the deep dark secrets of the establishment do come into the open. And of course, individually on our individual levels, we are experiencing these things too. And so, those things are happening. But I mean, the thing to understand is what's happening globally on an astrological level is happening within each of us as well. Yeah. And exactly. It exists globally because it exists in us also. So, but, you know, and I'm noticing, and of course, I'm sure you do too, and all the work that you do, but because I'm also connected with a lot of people who are on the leading edge of all these different fields of work, I'm noticing, it's just, you know, I think, obviously not the people who listen to your show are, I mean, they're aware of a lot of these things going on, but people who are more of a mainstream mindset don't realize that there are just absolutely incredible things happening in the world. And even on the mainstream level, there are incredible things, breakthroughs in technology that are coming down the line that will be a part of our regular lives in the next 20 years. Mm-hmm. But even beyond that, we're seeing incredible breakthroughs in people awakening to their gifts. I'm seeing people with just absolutely incredible spiritual gifts that are coming forward in the recent years, and it seems to be escalating as we go closer and closer to the next decade. So, you know, so there's no question we're in a time of awakening and also revealing of what's been hidden for a long time, and a lot of very revolutionary sciences and technologies are coming forward, even based on ancient technology. I just interviewed someone on my show tonight who is in the field of biogeometry, which basically takes ancient architecture with modern engineering research and brings it all together into a system of architecture that actually heals the physical body. And so he's done scientific experiments and so on, and he's discovered that having straight lines in our homes is actually adverse to our health. Yeah. All these things that we've lived with for so long, whether, you know, and I wonder, is it, are these things, was there somebody in our system who knew well enough to create these things, or was there just a consciousness that put these things in place and in order to limit our progress? But we're starting to see those veils being lifted, and the truth behind all of these things, all of these ideas, from music to architecture to everything, being revealed to us, those of us who are not on the mainstream side. But I think in the next, you know, 20 years, the mainstream is going to catch up with that. But yeah, so yeah, definitely that alignment would be representative of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so many things I've been privy to as far as the, I know there's a lot of fuelless energy technologies, and not just anti-gravity, but counter-gravity, which propels things at several thousand miles an hour. Sitting on the shelf, and they're waiting for somebody to crack the egg, you know, just to let this stuff out, and then they'll probably follow. But, you know, the people that have this technology, you know, have had their families threatened and their own lives threatened and things of that nature. So, you know, they had to kind of put it on the shelf for now. We tried to bring these things out back in the 90s, you know, and all hell broke loose. So, but I know the Keshe Foundation, he is releasing a lot of this information, and he's just willingly blasting it out there, you know, on memory sticks and things like that, and giving it the technology out and building them and you know, giving the generators to people all over the world, you know, say, here it is, you know, take it back, replicate it, make it, start creating it. So, you know, I think that's just going to blow the lid off this whole thing. When that starts getting out there, it's going to crack the egg and open the floodgates for all these other technologies. And I know some people just have a hard time, you know, they go from one box to another box. You know, it's like you tell them, you know, we could be running our cars on water right now. That technology does exist. And they go, ah, you're kidding. You know, that why, if it would exist, it'd be out there, you know, and things like that. And then you go, well, you know what? You don't even need fuel. You know, you could have one of these energy generators, an electric motor, and you could drive forever, you know, without ever stopping at a gas station, you know. And some people have a hard time for that one. But you take it to the next level and say, you know what? We don't even need fuel or tires, you know. These things could be, you know, counter-gravity or anti-gravity, and you could actually take off, you know, and have lunch in Australia and dinner in the United States and wherever you wanted to go, you know, with these things almost, you know, instantaneously. So, you know, and then you get into jump rooms and things like that, and people really go over the edge, you know, to when you tell them that there's jump rooms where you can just walk in a door and walk out somewhere else, you know, even as far as Mars. But, you know, it's amazing. You just wonder how big a box can people create, you know. It's how far out of their box can they go? And that's what I'm seeing right now, is all these little boxes are just being torn down, and people are almost being pushed by these new energies coming in to start, you know, opening up to new ideas, new ways of living, you know, just new ways of government, everything. You know, people are just fed up with the old box, you know, and the old programs.
What do you think about Cash? Because he's somebody I've never had on my show, and I hear a lot of contradictory information about, and I personally haven't actually seen any of the technology, so I can't speak to it directly. Have you spoken with anybody who's actually used any of his generators or who can speak from firsthand experience?
I have, actually, one of his right-hand people, and I don't want to divulge the guy's name because he wants to keep things private. Actually, we created the same experiment at the ranch, and we used the chemicals and the copper and everything, and it did generate quite a amount of electricity just by coating copper with this certain element. And so, you know, we're finding out too is that you can actually use fire to do it. You can actually use a wood fire and do the same thing with this copper and things like that. So anyway, it's kind of interesting that the things I've seen so far have worked, that in the beginning that he talked about, we actually created them. And I really would like to get back and start tinkering with this some more. But I know, according to him and other people that have watched these work, you know, the generators are, he has a generator that you plug into the wall and it goes into your system. And it's way over Unity, and so it generates a lot more electricity than you'd be using, so you get a payback, you know, from the electrical companies. And then he has another one that he's creating right now that is standalone, and that's what I'm looking for. You know, I want the standalone model, you know, that is completely separate from the grid. And it's plenty of juice to, you know, to run your entire house and run even more so, you know, charge up your car, whatever else you need to do. And they are working. And so this guy has firsthand knowledge, and I trust this guy. You know, he's working with the machines themselves. And we also did a lot of experiments around the theory of some of these things. And, it, you know, it did work. You know, so, you know, there is a lot of mud throwing, you know, at him. And you know, like all scientists, you know, I don't want to say anything negative about anybody, but all scientists are eccentric. When you get to that level of creating things and stuff like that, they're going to be eccentric, and they're going to have some ideas and things that might be, you know, a little way outside the loop and a little odd, you might say. But his science is sound, and what he's building is sound, and so and it is working. You know, it is functioning. So, you know, other than that, from what I've experienced, And, you know, he's not trying to gouge anybody. I mean, these units are cheap. They're very cheap. And so he's really doing his best to get this stuff out there. And you know, he sends out the diagrams and all the schematics and everything to build it yourself, and how, and the information on how it works and everything else. So, you know, to me, it's kind of amazing that, you know, there's... The guy's not in it, you know, to make a buck. He's not in it to scam anybody. He's actually, you know, getting everything out there at you know, almost ridiculously cheap rate to get this kind of technology out, you know, on the market.
Have you tried to get one? Is it just that we can't get them in the U.S. right now? That's a problem?
That is one. I think we can get them. Pretty soon we'll be able to get them. I wouldn't be surprised, because, you know, Homeland Security will snag just about anything. I had them snag all kinds of things from me that I was trying to get. But, you know, you open up your box and there's a little note in there, you know, saying, you know, even just a stupid little laser, you know, that we use to point out the ships and things, you know, every once in a while we'll get a little note, you know, in the box saying, Homeland Security, you can't have this. And, you know, it's probably under the Christmas tree, you know, for his kid or something. But, you know, it's things like that that we see all the time. But, you know, it's from what I understand there, that somehow these things are going to be, they're going to be available. I don't know exactly what I need to get. I need to find out more, because I've been on the road the past 3 months, and I've been, you know, in Japan and Australia, and I've just been on the road, and I haven't been able to to reconnect with the people I was working with. And so as soon as I get back, I'm going to, you know, really get after that and get these devices and check that out and do the experiments and everything else. But I know that, I did hold a device in my hand, and I was with, some other scientists, and some were NASA scientists too, that all looked at this device. And what we did was, it was as big as a pie pan, and our little pie plate, actually not a pan, it was even smaller than that. It had 9 coils in it, and each coil put out 25,000 watts, and it was ice cold when it operated. And if you didn't put a governor on it, it just blew a hole right through the ceiling, you know. So when it would take off, it just accelerate so fast. It would, and it had a field around it. It would just blow a hole through where it was going. But so that device does work, and we put all these power strips on it. We put several power strips on it and hooked everything, you know, giant drill compressors, drills, 500 watt lights on it. We just kept plugging things in it, and we tried to kill it, and we couldn't, you know. So no matter what we did, it just kept running, you know, and producing plenty of electricity. So I know for a fact this technology does exist. It's here on the planet. I think Keshe's technology might be a major step down from this technology, but, you know, it doesn't produce that much output, but it produces enough, you know, to run your house and do, you know, whatever else you need.
And so this device you're testing, this is something you've tested on your ranch?
No, I tested it in the lab of the, he's a physicist. I can't go tell you anymore because his life's been threatened and his family's been threatened and everything else. And I told him I wouldn't talk about it anymore, but, you know, it's on the shelf right now. And, you know, some of the scientists were actually killed, you know, died right not too long after that were involved in this. So it wasn't pretty, it was pretty ugly, you know, but there's still, you know, there's still ExxonMobil, a force out there, you know, that has their hitmen that would like to keep this stuff suppressed.
Have you seen any, I've never seen any, not that they're not out there, but I haven't really followed Keshe that much, but has he ever posted any videos of the actual generators working?
He does have videos, and he does have a video where he has all these leaders from all over the world, and where he's given them the actual device and the schematics and everything. And so I've seen those videos, and I have seen some videos of it working. I don't know if they're on his site. I've seen videos taken by people that were there, you know, that were checking it out. But they were private videos. But I bet if you just go to Keshe Foundation, he probably has things up on his site where these devices are running and information about them.
Mm-hmm. So last time we talked, you were telling me about that you had some sightings of pterodactyls and tall birds and such on the ranch. Anything new going on there that's interesting?
Not really. That one's been sighted a couple other times, basically. I know there's a lot of police and witnesses. I mean, one guy drove his car off the road because it was eating a dead deer on the road, and he drove off the road, and a cop came up right behind him, and the guy was in shock, you know, and all he could say was pterodactyl, you know. But it's not a pterodactyl. It's actually a pterosaurus. It has a big ball at the end of its tail. And, you know, numerous people have seen it. And when you hear about the eyewitness sighting, that's, you know, I don't tell people what kind of bird it was or things like that have seen it. And I asked them, well, what it looked like. And they said, well, it looked like a pterodactyl, you know. And I said, well, did you see anything, you know, strange on it? And they said, yeah, it had a big ball at the end of its tail, which is the pterosaurus. And so they are seeing the same creature flying around. And I think what's happening, my gut feeling is there's a door to the inner earth where all these things have been preserved throughout history. And I think one of them got out, you know, and is flying around. Or it could be a dimensional thing, because we are in a vortex, you know, where the veils between dimensions are very thin. And and all kinds of crazy events manifest there and then disappear. You know, they'll be there for a minute and then disappear. The funniest one I saw was a little pygmy guy, you know, a little guy who was less than, 3 feet tall, maybe, at the most. And he went walking right in front of me, and he wasn't wearing anything. He had a little string and a little, looked like a stick and a spear, you know, which I know now what that is, how those work. Being over in Australia, I saw how the Aboriginal people use this stick to toss their spears. So, that being said, it's kind of interesting seeing this guy. And we're sitting there in the garden pulling weeds, and the guy just appears, walks right by us, smiles, and then disappears and vanishes, you know, right in front of our eyes. And so there's weird time anomalies happening there. There's because of the vortex and the veil between worlds being so thin that, you know, we see masters appear there, ships appear there, and we have it all on file. You know, we videotaped and photographed it. And I'm going to show a lot of that at the expo. And on the trip here to Australia, I actually was taken to they're called the Gosford Glyphs, which I'm going to share, which are just mind-blowing. I mean, this is Egyptian, a place that has all the hieroglyphs carved into the stone, and it's undeniable Egyptian. And, you know, they have all the different hieroglyphs on there, and then another wall, and what they're saying, it's Egyptian Palladian place that where the Egyptians and the Palladians were there together, and it's undeniable. They have all these ships carved into the wall in stone, and all these other. It's a different type of hieroglyphs that what they're saying is that they're actually the Palladians, the ancient ones. But you know, I don't know how to verify that, but all I know is that it wasn't anything I've seen before, and it definitely shows there was an Egyptian presence here. Now, they have a story here. The Aboriginals have a story here that two pharaohs were here from Egypt, and they wanted the information. They wanted the ancient information from the Aboriginals and the knowledge, and they told them that they took some artifacts or some things, some rocks or things like that, and they were taking them back with them. And then the Aboriginals told them, you can't take those with you. That they said, you know, spirit won't let you leave with those artifacts. And they tried to take them anyway. And one of the pharaohs was bit by a viper. You know, there are so many poisonous snakes and spiders here. It's unbelievable. But I just took a photograph of this massive spider on my window just yesterday. But one of them got bit by some kind of a viper, and the other one, his ship sunk. It was sunk right in the harbor, and so both of them died. And they actually buried one of the pharaohs, and they broke in. The government actually broke in and took everything out of that tomb, and they're trying to hush this up. People go, why would the government do that? Well, the Smithsonian was just sued and lost suit of covering up all of this evidence of these giants and giant skeletons that they found, you know, all over everywhere, you know, like not just Peru, but in the United States as well. And so they lost their suit because they had the evidence that they've been covering this up and destroying these giant skeletons, you know, with the cone heads and everything else. So, you know, the governments all around the world and the Smithsonian and all these guys have made a mass effort to destroy anything that doesn't fit with the standard progression of man belief and anything that doesn't fit into religious programs and things like that. So it's a pretty common thing. But, you know, to see that firsthand and to see these glyphs and be in that energy where these are, was just amazing. It does something to you when you're looking at this giant wall, rock wall, with all of these different glyphs and these plating symbols or star symbols all over it, along with Egyptian symbols on the other rock. You just, you know, you're sitting there, you can actually feel the energy of whoever carved those things or whatever went on there. There's just a real powerful feeling, and something just comes over you. that you just know that you know we haven't been told the whole story, and this is validation right here that there's a lot more to the story. So that there's the Strongs have done a lot of work on this, and they've proved that humanity goes even back further than Africa, and it actually started here over in Australia. So they have some amazing things that they're uncovering too as well. So all the books are going to be, you know, rewritten here pretty soon, because all this information is coming out, and the Smithsonian and all these other guys can't stop it.
Yeah, it's an exciting time to be alive, to be sure. So you're going to be at our expo this March, and you've got two things that you're doing there. Well, actually, we have you on a extraterrestrial panel as well, and a consciousness panel. But besides that, I think what you were just talking about was the Anunnaki Star Nations and Return of Humanity lecture. Is that what that is?
Exactly. Okay. And these are the Anunnaki and the Pharaohs, and it's all tied together. You know, it all comes together. And I'm gonna, you know, tie this everything together. You know, where the religions began, the ancient religions are tied into the Anunnaki and the different. You know, there were different Anunnaki that, you know, the bearded god that we worship. Most religions worship are the Anunnaki, and they all behave differently, and that's why you have the different religions. So it ties it all together, and ties in the Greek gods, and then it ties in the UFOs, and you know. The origins of religions, everything is all tied together in this lecture.
That should be very interesting. And you're doing another one that's Meet Your Star Family and Healing Negative Influences. I know you do some kind of a modality there where you use table tipping and such, right?
Yes.
Okay, can you talk about that a little bit? I'm not exactly clear what takes place there.
Well, what it is, it's an interesting process, and this goes all the way back to like Pythagoras probably, but it's a very ancient process, and it comes out of the teachings of the Inner Christ or Ernest Holmes, and they actually use a table, and you have two people on each side of a small table, and you start off by healing any negative influences and make sure you're only working with the higher dimensional beings, and the energy comes in, and you have a male-female balance, which allows you to access the highest levels, and a check and balance, which is the table. And it'll tip one for no, two for yes, give us exact dates and times and the names of the different groups and beings coming in. And it's a very, very accurate process. But we had a guy actually, he come here that uses PIP technology or Harold Oilfield's technology. And he came to one of the talks here when we were doing the process. And he's the foremost expert in Australia. And his mind was blown when he saw the photographs of what happened there. And so when the Pleiadians came in, the whole energy turned white, and you can see everybody's bodies pixelating, and you see energies transferring from the center of the room or from my third eye over to the people that we're working on and things like that. And with each group that came in, each different group, the energy completely changed. And that's what this technology does. It senses any changes in the electromagnetic light spectrum. So each time a different group came in, the energy changed, the colors changed, and it aligned exactly with what I was saying. So his mind was blown when he came, you know, to this. You know, and I like it when true science does come. I mean, this guy's very skeptical and very discerning, and this is the second time I've had this happen where scientists have come up to the ranch, you know, and they'll say, well, you know, basically they're you know, a lot of them are coming to prove it wrong. You know, they prove that there is nothing happening, and if they do have the right equipment, you know, they do find out something is happening and it gets validated. But that's the process we do, and we bring in the different star nations so people can experience the energy and a lot of healing goes on and energy balancing and things like that in those workshops.
That sounds very exciting. I know a lot of our team are lining up for that class in particular, so. So you should have a pretty pretty captive audience when you're there.
Yeah. Last one I did one in Joshua Tree last time. They actually didn't get me a big enough building because there was people lined up for quite a ways to get in. There just wasn't enough room, you know. So it was you know met with you know a lot of people wanting to come and experience that energy.
Yeah, we have a lot of interesting topics there that are very complementary to what you're talking about. Are you familiar with Freddie Silva? He's going to be speaking there as well.
Yeah, I know Freddie Silva's work. And who else do you have going there? I know you had some other, I know you have Winston Stroud, and Winston actually has been like a real key point in Ysetti and keeping the doors open there and, you know, keeping us out of the jaws of tyranny, you know. So he's going to be an amazing one to talk to, you know, to hear his story. But yeah, you've got some other speakers there too, I think, that are really interesting.
Yeah, we have Winston giving a talk about, I think he did it at your place too, about clearing financial karma. And then he's doing his, I think, 3 or 4 hour workshop on reclaiming your status and assets, which is one that I've been looking forward to. And hopefully if I can pull away, I'm going to peek in on that one. But we have Michaela Sheldon, who's an intuitive channel, who will be there. Mark Romero is a vibrational sound healer, who actually former corporate CEO who gave it all up to play guitar, realized he had a gift with consciousness, and he's actually quite well known in that field now. That should be really cool. We have, besides Dr. Dream's 333 bowl gong immersion, I'm sorry, Tibetan bowl immersion, we have a couple other sound experiences. One's a shamanic sound immersion, and another one with crystal bowls, and then we've got a consciousness panel with quite a few people on it. Adam Apollo, are you familiar with him?
Yeah, I have. I do know who he is.
Yeah, so Adam's going to be there, and he's going to be giving a little bit, just to kind of round things out, a little bit more of a mainstream-based talk, talking about what's actually happening in the mainstream world in terms of technological innovation and energy systems and things like that. That, you know, he's done a lot of research into those areas, and I didn't realize that there was that much going on even on that level. So that should be really interesting as well. Dr. Brooks Agnew will be there. I don't know. I think you've had him on your show. Have you not before?
Oh, yeah. Brooks is a very good friend of ours. And, you know, Brooks Agnew was at the ranch once, and we filmed this massive ship following the space station. Right behind it, another big old mothership cut right across in front of it. And several other physicists were there. We filmed all this, and we called NASA and said, hey, is anything up there re-outfitting, you know, the space station, you know, and supplying the space station? They said, no, nothing, you know. They said, are you sure, you know? And they said, no, the shuttle's grounded. There's nothing up there. And they said, no Russian rockets? And they said, no. And they said, well, good, because we just filmed something huge following the space station and another large object crossing its path. And right away, they changed their story. Completely changed their story. So Brooks Agnew, you know, he's been at the ranch quite a bit, and we've had him, you know, he spends a lot of time there, and he's seen incredible UFO activity. It'd be good for him to tell his, he had a major awakening there at the ranch. He had a full-blown contact happening. So that'd be good to hear his story, if he can get through it. Sometimes it affected him so bad he has a hard time even telling the story, in a good way, though.
I didn't actually know he had extraterrestrial experiences. He always seemed like kind of a straight edge kind of guy to me. So I didn't.
Yeah. No, he doesn't really talk about it, but we can probably get it out of him. But everybody loves to hear about his experience. It's a pretty amazing experience.
Yeah. Also, Laura Eisenhower is also going to be there doing key codes of ascension, polarity integration, and galactic consciousness. So that should be fun.
Yeah, she's always awesome. She's just, you know, a rapid fire library of amazing information. So, you know, people need to buckle up for that one.
Yeah. And then we have Romania Dean Thomas, who's doing Elixirs of Immortality, Ancient Tonic Herbal Alchemy. So he's a Chinese herbalist, very talented. Oh, and we have, I don't know if you ever heard of Ken Chorley. Have you ever heard of him? He's kind of a local to us here.
No, I haven't.
Well, he did this really cool presentation at our last expo. We brought him back. Where he performs telekinesis and aerokinesis. Now, this hotel is in the heart of Detroit, so we can't very well go outside and do any aerokinesis demonstrations. But he was able to move an object underneath a glass dome using energy, and it was fascinating. I mean, it's not a, you know, it's not like he's moving big blocks of limestone or anything like back in the day, but. Yeah. But still, it's kind of interesting to see. It's not the kind of thing you see a lot of people being able to do, at least not, you know, in the public forum at this point. So he'll be there talking about self-empowerment and doing some demonstrations as well. So we have quite a few, and we have an aura workshop with Barb Morey, quite a lot of interesting stuff.
Yeah. Hey, we're at the end of the hour, unfortunately,
okay.
And I really can't wait to get to the expo. What's the best way for people to contact you and find out more about the expo?
Well, they can join our Facebook page if they'd like, which is facebook.com/awakeandempoweredexpo, and then we have lots of giveaways and things leading up to the event, or they can just go to AAEEXPO or awakeandempoweredexpo.com, and they can purchase their tickets there and take a look at the schedule and everybody we have coming. So we'd love to have them, you join us, and I'm looking forward to meeting you in person finally as well. It should be a fun weekend.
All right. Hey, well, thank you so much for coming on the show, and I'm really looking forward to connecting with you and all the other people there at the event, and hope everybody else can get out there too.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Thanks a lot for coming on the show. We're out of time, folks. For the GoFundMe, if you want to go to GoFundMe, it's www.gofundme.com/eSETIRepairs. And so you can go, it's hyphen repairs, but if you can go and check that out, we've almost hit our target. We had extensive storm damage and flooding and things at the ranch this year, and we're in the middle of cleaning that up. So if you wanted to go to the GoFundMe, I'd probably type in eSETI, it'll probably pop up, but check out GoFundMe, eSETI.com. It's gofundme.com/eSETI-repairs, and check that out. So we could always use whatever help you can give us. And I can't wait to get back to the ranch and start getting my hands dirty and get all these repairs done. So anyway, thank you so much for sticking with us on the show. We'll talk soon, and I'll give you an update on what's happening in Australia. It's amazing. I can't wait to get after it. So anyway, have a great day and watch the skies. Good night. Hi, hi.